greet you this morning in the name of the one whom we have come to worship, our Lord Jesus Christ. Glad to be here with you this morning, and appreciate the service thus far. The message this morning, the title of it is, Who Am I? And if you want to text first, it is Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And there's a lot more than that there, but that's the verse you can look at. The message also grows out of meditating on John 13 last weekend as we had communion. It was my responsibility to read the fish washing, feet washing passage. And the longer I meditated on it, it just rose up in my mind how tremendous that whole picture is. And Jesus is willing to serve his disciples in washing their feet. It takes us back to the beginning, Genesis, where God made the universe and everything that's in it. And then he made man the crowning of his creation. And he made a woman. And they were the sole purpose for fellowship and communion. That's what God wanted. How long he had that, I don't know. But we know the story. Satan entered the picture, and our foreparents fell. And I believe God lost what he wanted. God lost the fellowship and the communion and the glory and the honor that he so deserved. And now he had to share it in some way. I believe at that point, God became a servant to man. It might strike you as strange, but as I get through the message, I think we'll see it clear that God actually was in a position now of rather being a supreme being to them and receiving their glory. Now he had to deal with them and labor for them. And that's what he did when he came to them right after the fall. He came and he said, Adam, where art thou? The voice of the God walking in the garden. Just says the voice of God. I don't know if Adam's seen God before that. I believe he might have. But this time it was just the voice. Because Adam and Eve could not look on God with sin in their life. And so God, I believe, and I believe when God serves man on the earth, it is done by the power and of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can see that too. We see Jesus different times coming to talk to people and sharing with them. We call it a theophany. It's an eternal being. It's God. It's Jesus in his heavenly form, not his earthly form as a man. But he came and then he had to take the lambs and slay them. They didn't know how to do it. Christ had to show them how to do it. And so he was serving them because this was the only way of a relationship with God. And then we can go on in the sin of Cain, who slew his brother. God came to him and asked him, where is thy brother? You know, again, God had to come to Cain and speak to him. And then God laid out to him, the Lord Jesus. And when I say God, I mean the Lord Jesus because they're both the same. And that's what we're looking at this morning, the service. In other words, God has to blend and help man back to come back to him. But Jesus Christ was the way that would all happen in the final outcome. It had to be. And that was planned in eternity past. When God and Christ and the Holy Spirit, where it says, let us make man. But it was predetermined that Christ would need to come into the world to die to save sinners. He knew that before he ever came. He knew it in eternity past. And henceforth, they dealt with Cain, and he was cast out. Let me go on through the early years. Enoch was a man. We don't know much about him, but we know two things, at least one thing, that he walked with God. And I believe from what we read about him, it was a man that, well, the scripture says that he was 65 years old when he had Methuselah. And then for 300 years, it says he walked with God. And that's a long time to walk with God. But he was a man that gave back to God what he really wanted. And there's people like that scattered. Noah was a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God blessed him. And then we have Abraham coming. God calling Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees whenever the world was filled with wickedness and corruption. The tribes of the earth had been scattered. The people, their language distorted. And God did all of those things for a purpose, because man wanted to build himself a tower and keep himself together. But he called Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees. And here was a man that we know nothing about Abraham that was not by faith. There were probably times in his experience where he questioned whether God would really tear him. When he went down to Egypt, I believe that was one of those. But God took care of him there. God went with him and blessed him. And they made a great nation of him. And then the children of Israel went down into Egypt. And they're in bondage. God seen them there. He prophesied that they would go down in there and suffer. And God come to Moses and said, I have heard my people's groanings. I have heard their groanings. In other words, God was well aware of everything that was going on in Egypt. He seen the little children was supposed to have been cast into the Nile River, but wasn't. And but God seen all the evil that travailed upon them. And God blessed them abundantly. Psalm 105:37 says that when they come out, there was not one feeble person among them. They were all strong people. They were all ready to go forth. And we know the failures that those people done there, their faults, their groanings, their murmurings, their complainings. And in Corinthians, I think it's 10:4, it talks about Christ being the rock that followed them through the wilderness. And it says, this rock was Christ. And every place they went, there was food provided. There was water provided. And Christ did it all for them. He made sure the water was there. He heard their murmurings, even their complainings, and yet he still provided that for them. And and they brought him out. He gave them kings. And Psalm 23 is a very familiar psalm to us. But when I read it now, I have to think of what Jesus is. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. my shepherd. In other words, he's the one that's guiding me. He's leading me. He leadeth me beside the still waters. I can't say it now. If I just started, I could probably say it, but let me just turn to it. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. You see, he's there. He's there making us lay down. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. That's what Christ is doing. That's what David was saying, that he's, as a little shepherd boy, that's what he was. God, that's what he was doing with the sheep, and that's what Jesus Christ was doing. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he will go with me. He'll be there. He is a servant. He's a servant to us. Then the verse in Isaiah 43:24, I want to turn to that because it's one of the verses that stand out most profoundly. It says, verse 24 of Isaiah 43, "Thou hast brought me," and this is speaking about Israel's ingratitude, "Thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins, and thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities." All of these things, the idolatry that Israel was involved in, God said, "You made me serve you with them, with your sins and your iniquities." You know, they just went down. And finally in Ezekiel, all the children went into captivity. Israel went into Assyria, and Judah went into Babylon. And in Ezekiel we see where the glory of God finally left the temple. It may have been before they all went, but he seen that in vision, that the glory of the Lord left the temple and went out of the threshold onto the wall and up into the mountain, and then he was gone. You know, from the time that Moses built a tabernacle in the wilderness where God came down and dwelt among men, that tabernacle and God's presence went through the wilderness. That presence was then to Canaan. And Solomon built another temple, and the glory of the Lord filled that one. And that glory was there the whole time that Israel was sinning and coming back and sinning and coming back, till God finally had to leave. He could not dwell with that sin anymore. And then after the prophets, we have the dark years. You know, there are still people that were faithful in those silent years where God was not speaking. There was no prophets. There was no witness. God did not speak to them, but he still spoke to some people. We come to the New Testament. We have Zachariah and Elizabeth, who were holy and blameless according to the law. And Mary and Joseph, holy people, Simeon and Anna, were faithful. But when the birth of Jesus took place, it was Emmanuel. And once more, God came to earth to dwell with man. Jesus became a servant of servants. He didn't do much for himself. He spent time in prayer when he could have been sleeping for us and for the people. Galatians 4:4. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Scriptures all tells us that in the fullness of the Godhead bodily dwelt within Jesus Christ. He was the full power. He was made in the flesh. He was a witness of the Heavenly Father. And He had all power. And He could call angels. He could call whatever it was. But Jesus was on the earth to serve man. You can turn with me to John 13. We know it so well. But it's a passage that has just impressed it upon my mind last weekend, and I shared my thoughts in a devotional meditation on it. But as I went through the week, I kept thinking about it. I wasn't really planning to preach on this, but the Lord laid in my heart that I should, because I think it's important to us. But the apostles were there in the upper room, and they had the provisions. Peter and John made the provisions to wash the feet, because the towel was there, the basin was there, and the water was there. But the disciples did not want to wash each other's feet. And none of them even took the privilege to wash Jesus' feet. But the provisions were there. Why? Because they were trying to decide who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. That was their whole interest. And sometimes we get wrapped up in the same thing. We see people and we get involved in things around us and forget that it's not about me. It's about Jesus. And we are so prone to be like them. But Jesus, after the supper, He said He rise from supper and laid aside His garments. Now, I don't believe His garments may have been priestly garments, I'm not sure. But they certainly spoke of who He was. And He laid them aside and took a towel and girded Himself and poured water in the basin and began to wash His disciples' feet. And that was a job usually done by slaves. Poor people. People that were asked to do that normally. But that's what Jesus did. And when I say He was a servant of servants, He actually served men who should have been serving Him. And did this wonderful picture of denying oneself. He didn't see. He was more concerned about the men with Him and trying to teach them a few things yet than what He was facing. The cross at Golgotha. We know the story. Peter came to Him. And I'd like to turn to Philippians 2. And this is a tremendous passage. It's all about Jesus and what He did, what He didn't do. And Philippians 2, I think we know the passage well. I think I'll start at verse 1 and reading there. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Now, there's four times in that verse where He says that we ought to be the same mind, the same thing, same love, one accord. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And there's some parts of the scriptures in the Bible that we really don't know how to apply to our own hearts and lives. And this is one of them. We struggle to know how we are to esteem others better than ourselves. No man yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth. And that's in relation to a man's wife. But to esteem others better than yourself is a real challenge to me. And look not every man on his own things. Where do you look most of the days? Don't you look on your own things? You know, we go to our jobs, we do our work, we do the things pertaining to our families, and everything is kind of centered around us and our families. But there are other people out there that we need to be thinking about as well. And you have to make the applications to your own life. Let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, not a thought or not robbery, to be equal with God, made of himself no reputation, took him in the form of a servant. And that was when he was made. And was made in the likeness of men, and being found as in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Now, it's said in the scriptures in the Old Testament, even God humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and that are on earth. Everything has been depleted to corruption and sin and darkness, but God is still working in the darkness of this world to bring people to himself. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's why Jesus came. He came to die. He came to give life to us that we might finally give praise and glory back to our Maker. And we can only do it when we are in Christ. God hath no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the death of his saints is very precious in his sight. Matthew 20:25 is the scripture where the disciples were arguing about who should be the greatest. And Jesus said, but Jesus called them unto himself. That's in verse 24. And when the 10 heard it, they were moved with indignation against the two brethren, that's James and John, who wanted to have the left and right hand of Jesus. But Jesus called them unto him and said, ye know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they that are great exercise authority upon them. But it shall not be so among you. Whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whosoever will be chief, let him be your servant. Even the Son of Man came not to be administered unto, but to minister and give his life a ransom for many. The act of Jesus in humbling himself to wash his disciples' feet, I believe was the ultimate of his service to mankind. And then he gave his life a ransom for us. Suffered all the evils of the cross and the pain and the agony. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that would pray, not my will, but thine, Lord? Who am I? Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God that God did span at Calvary. You know, when we think of all that Jesus went through and did for us, all the servitude that he's even doing for us today, helping us in our lives, blessing us, chastening us, directing us, it's all to bring us back to God the Father. And yet we can lift ourselves up. We can act like we are somebody. We think our will must be done. We don't need other people telling us what to do. That is totally out of the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, we don't even think about dying for our brethren today. That's totally out of the question because we don't think it's going to happen, but it may. Would you be willing to do it? Would I be willing to do it? I don't know how we can make those kind of things practical. I don't believe it's getting down and washing your brother's feet or your sister's feet. That's just an emblem practice that we do to remind us who we are. The thing that has to be done is when we put the feet washing ceremony into shoe leather in our everyday life. Who is more important? Christ is still serving us today. And Revelation tells us that when we get there at the marriage, he's going to have us sit down and he's going to gird himself and he's going to serve us one more time at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, Jesus has not hired or made people, waiters and waitresses, to bring the food out. That Jesus is going to do. And it'll be a marvelous event. But after that, then he'll no more be servants. He will turn everything back over to the Father. And God will receive all the glory that he wanted and wished to have in the garden. How much glory are we giving to God today? You know, it just appalled me when I sat in my little study and pondered that. The great sacrifice, the great humility that Christ had. I don't believe Jesus laid aside his garment, girded him with a towel, put water in the basin, and washed the disciples' feet grudgingly. Because the scripture says that he went to the cross joyfully. He was so glad to do that. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, to sit down at the right hand of the Father on high. I trust it. Just think about that. We go through our communion and we read the passage and we go on. But there's some serious things to think about and a practical outworking of that in everyday life. May the Lord bless you as you endeavor to do that. Shall we pray?